Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
The second reading is also from the Gospel according to Luke. It precedes the reading we just heard, the Magnificat. It's sometimes called the Annunciation. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. May God add a blessing to the hearing and understanding of this holy word. Amen. Did the turn of the sermon title, "There's Something About Mary," ring a bell with anyone? Well, let me assure you that it was meant only to get your attention, and it has nothing to do with the sermon, and the sermon nothing to do with the movie. I, quite frankly, started watching the movie and got disgusted and turned it off, so I can't really speak to the whole thing. Mary is a very important part of this story of Jesus. In the Catholic and Orthodox traditions, of course, she is elevated and venerated to a godlike persona. She is prayed to and worshipped. In Orthodox and Greek, the title given is Theotokos, which means God-bearer. God-bearer. And so there is, as you know from the, some of you have contact in the Catholic or Orthodox traditions, and others just kind of incidental, but she is very much central in those traditions. In the Protestant traditions, not so much. Some suggest that it's kind of reaction to the emphasis placed on that side of the fence, that we back off a little bit. But I'd like to talk about Mary today, because Mary, there is something about Mary. There's even something about Mary for all of us. Before I go on, I came across this cartoon the other day, and I'm sorry, this isn't really probably what Mary would have done, but there's a picture of three women on donkeys going the other way, and across the back of the first one, there's a thing that says, "My daughter is an honor student." The middle one says, "My son is a doctor." And the one on the right says, "My son is God." I'm sorry, it struck me. I suspect that's not Mary's style, but it was kind of cute. So we are very familiar, I guess, with the story of the birth. And, you know, here's this young woman, we don't really know, probably middle teens, who gets this amazing visit from an angel who tells her something that's, quite frankly, quite unbelievable. And yet, she perseveres. And she says, "Yes, okay, let it be with me." She's putting everything on the line, because if she shows up with child and with no husband, that's going to be a big problem. More so in those days than it even would have been here 30 or 40 years ago. It was a big problem. But she just kind of went, okay. So then they set off and had the indignity of having to stay for the birth of their child on the way, a long way, to back to Joseph's homeland. The indignity of having to stay in a stable. Some say it wasn't really a stable, but, you know, give other, you know, interpretations, but I'll go with stable. After all, I mean, we've got the picture. But the indignity of that and giving birth to her baby there. And then all of these folks start showing up. Things start happening. All right, the shepherds come. The angels are singing. Which has got to go, you know, got to perplex her, as the word that she used, even more. But she goes with it, and she has this child, this baby. And even if she may have been upset by the accommodations, or may have been confused by what was going on, she persevered in taking the baby and taking the baby on. Okay. On the proper day, they took Jesus, she and her, and Joseph. We have to mention Joseph while he's being mentioned, because he drops out of sight real quick here. They went to the temple, because the firstborn, the first male in particular, had to be dedicated to the Lord. And we're told that they had to buy and give two doves, two birds, because they were poor. If they had been rich, they would have had to give big animals, or, you know, more stuff. You know, sort of a progressive tax. But so they went, and so she had to say, we're poor people, you know, so she had to admit that. And then as they're coming out of the temple, this man named Simeon comes up to them and says, "You know, I've been waiting here all these years to see the Messiah, because God promised me that I would see the Messiah before I died." And in his mind, this was it. Jesus was it. And so Simeon pronounced something. It was actually kind of similar to the Magnificat, about the power and what this child could do. And then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." And so Mary heard that. And yet, I'm not sure she understood the full impact of that. She understood so much about Jesus, but I'm not sure she heard what the future had for her. The next picture we have, the next little vignette, is when Mary and Joseph, when Jesus is, we think, about 12, and they went to Jerusalem, and he kind of wandered off. And they they did what they came to do, and then they started home. Well, and then all of a sudden they realized he wasn't with them. There's a Mark Lowry is a gospel singer and a comedian, and he said, "For heaven's sake, they got God's son and they lost him." You know, but yeah, it's not as bad as it might seem, because everybody traveled in a big crowd, for safety, protection from bandits and so on, and also just because everybody had to come for the festival and had to go back home. And so they assumed he was somewhere else in the crowd. Turned out he wasn't, because when they looked, and he went back, they went back for to find him, and he kind of got chided a little bit, but not much. And he said, "Well, didn't you know where to look for me? How you would be in my father's house. He would be at the temple." And so Mary heard that, and a new little chapter came, a new little revelation, perhaps, that he was aware of who he is. She knew, and this says that he knew. And she treasured it in her heart, it says. She treasured it in her heart. The next, there's this whole story then in Matthew about King Herod and the Magi. And I'm not going to do the whole thing. Let me give you the Cliff Notes version. The Magi came to Herod because they couldn't find, they wanted to know where Jesus was. And Herod had heard there was going to be a Messiah. And so he was very interested to find out for himself. So he sent them along, and he asked them, "When you find the baby, come back and tell me, because I want to go in and worship him too." Yeah, right. So they did, but it says that the Magi, after they delivered their gifts, they were warned in a dream about Herod's treachery. And so they went back a different way. They went back a different way. And so there are Jesus and Joseph and Mary. And then in a dream, well, let me read it to you. "Now, after they had left, they," the Magi, "an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for this child to destroy him.' Then Joseph got up, took the child and mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod." So now this young mother, with all the stuff that's happened so far, has to be ripped from her homeland, from any possible contact with his family or hers, and trucked off to Egypt for safety. But it had to be an upset. When we had been married about 9 months, 8, 10 months, we had a baby. He wasn't that old. We lived in Hartford, Connecticut, and Cheryl lived, her whole family was around there, and they were very family-oriented, and I got a job in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And so watching what happened with Cheryl as she was transported out of her milieu with an infant helps me understand perhaps a little bit of what Mary was feeling. And yet, she persevered. And then, sometime later, they got a message that it was okay to come back. So they came back and they settled. And Mary went back to being mother. And Joseph, we think, went back to being a carpenter. And things were very quiet until about Jesus' 30th birthday, when he was baptized by John. Mary has not shown up in the story anywhere along here. And the next time she shows up, it's kind of almost seems incidental, or as if she's there to make a point. Matthew's version of it is, "While Jesus was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and his brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him." Someone told him, "Look, your husband and your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers? For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Which was all well and good. But if Mary was really standing outside, she must have felt bad not to be allowed to speak with her son. But still, she persevered. Still, she persevered. Not sure of the timing of this one event and the other. Was the wedding in Cana. You know, excitement. The weddings were 7 days long. I've only been around one that was almost that long. The mother of Jesus was at the wedding with Jesus. And Jesus and the disciples were there. When the wine gave out, the mother said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman," Mark Lowry has a nice comment about that. He said, "I don't know about Jesus' time, but in Texas where I grew up, if I addressed my mother as woman, I'd have gotten a whack across the face. Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come." In other words, she's asking him to do something about the wine situation. And he's saying, no, it's not on my agenda. It's not time for me to show myself for who I am. And she does a mother thing. His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." In other words, she is acknowledging not only that he can do something, but she's telling him, "No, it's no more waiting. This is the time. This is the time to begin being who you are." And so you know that he turned the jugs of water into wine, and the stewards were amazed because it wasn't just plain old wine, the stuff you serve after the good stuff's gone. It was the best stuff ever. And that was great. And again, Mark Lowry says, "Isn't it great that Jesus' first miracle was just to keep the party going?" Just to keep the party going. But so Mary not only believes in him, but kind of goads him along. She's still persevering. And the next time we hear about Mary, she's standing at the foot of the cross. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman," there it is again, "here is your son." And then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took him into his own home. It doesn't say anything about Mary's feelings or reaction or anything. But many of you know some all too well the anguish in a mother's heart when a child dies. And to have it happen in such an awful, awful, undeserved way, it had to be a real, wrenching experience. And I find myself wondering if she remembered Simeon's words, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." It certainly has. So Mary was a remarkable woman, girl, woman, mother, who did what a lot of mothers do, is to absorb a lot of stuff that they shouldn't have to absorb, who urged the child into doing something that they didn't think they were ready to do yet, who lost the kid at least once. She persevered. And so I think if I had to pick one something about Mary, it's that. That she took in things that no one could possibly, I can't imagine me, you know, getting this kind, going through the kind of revelation and you know, the potential social stigma, you know, the whole thing that she went through, and perhaps especially seeing my son killed. She took it all, and still she persevered. And so, Protestants, don't ignore Mary just because, you know, the other traditions lift her so high. She's important to the story. She's important to us. So I wish you the kind of openness and agreement and patience and perseverance that Mary showed.